Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 292 of the NBA Podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and today we are going to hit on the latest Derrick Rose trade rumors. We're also going to discuss Dwight Powell's unfortunate Achilles tear and how that affects the Dallas Mavericks' plans heading into the trade deadline. And then we're going to wrap up with my co-host's favorite topic. We are going to pick our All-Star starters before they get announced tomorrow night. Before we get into all of that, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handles, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. And we're now being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Joining me today, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
It's going well. I'm actually looking forward to this, believe it or not, because I've decided to basically not adhere to any of the All-Star rules.
Good.
I'm just going to throw those out of the window.
Okay.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I think the voting process is dumb. I think the All-Star game is dumb because no one takes it seriously. I think it is by far the league's biggest Achilles heel in terms of marketing the game, at least for people who aren't 8 years old. So when it comes to our selections, I've just basically ignored positions.
We'll get into it later, but for one spot in particular, I'm very inclined to do the same.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But first, Mort, let's start with Derrick Rose because he was in the news Monday. Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports reported the Los Angeles Lakers, Philadelphia 76ers, and multiple teams with championship aspirations have expressed interest in trading for him. He said the Clippers have checked in on Rose as well, but it was more of a common exploratory talk. He also noted that Lakers and Sixers are in search of point guard assistance for the stretch run. So before we get into his on-court fit, we just need to address that we are only talking about the on-court fit. Because would you take in the off-court? Like, I want the Sixers to have no part of Derrick Rose because of his off-court issues. Like, the guy is a dirtbag. And if you don't know or don't remember what happened, just look up Derrick Rose Think Progress. There was a great story from Lindsay Gibbs. She wrote it, I believe, in 2016 in the midst of his trial. And she goes through why he's a dirtbag. So with that in mind, I don't want any part of Derrick Rose. But if we remove that from the equation, which is presumably what these front offices are doing here, we at least need to talk about his on-court fit and whatnot. So, Mort, since you have, I mean, as a former sort of kind of current Bulls fan, you obviously spent a lot of time watching Derrick Rose, the highs and the lows of his career. So let's talk about what he brings to the table before we address how he would fit with the Lakers, Sixers, or somewhere else.
Well, first and foremost, do I have your consent to rebuttal?
I don't know what that word means. I'm doing my best, Derrick Rose.
All right. So in terms of his on-court fit, he's a slasher. He's a reluctant long-range shooter, though he has gotten somewhat better in that area of the game. I think as he's aged, his jump shot has just become more refined, which happens to a lot of players, really. Even Rajon Rondo is showing some sort of progression here and there. He's still a slasher at heart, and regardless of who's out there on the basketball court, he will find a way to get to the rim. And that is one of his strengths, admittedly, is just the fact that you can have this big lumbering guy in Andre Drummond down there, and you can flank him with someone else who may not be like a natural three-point shooter. So the lane is pretty clocked, and Rose will find a way to get that ball off the glass and in somehow. So the slashing game is still very on point. In terms of how you'd fit, like in Philadelphia specifically, oh, good Lord, no. No. I don't think that's a good fit. I get that he can defy the odds and get to the basket, but that's not really the point. The point is for other players. Like, they need the spacing, and Derek simply doesn't provide that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's where I lean to. If it's the choices between the Lakers and the Sixers, again, removing the off-court that I want zero right. part of this guy, I do think he makes more sense for the Lakers than the Sixers because, I mean, we saw on Monday, the Sixers, like, the one part of this report that I was glad to see was that the Sixers have correctly identified an on-ball creator as one of their needs heading into the deadline. Do I want that to be Derrick Rose? No, but that is a need of theirs. But as you said, the three-point shooting, I mean, he shot 37% from three last year on 2.9 attempts per game. But that's looking...
Which was due to one hot month in November.
Right. It's looking more and more like an outlier because right now he's at 31.3% on three attempts per game this year. His previous high before last season was 34%. In 2013-14. So, I mean, the guy is a career 30.5% three-point shooter. He will take those shots. Do I want him to take those shots? Probably not. I'd live with Trey Burke and Raul Neto taking those shots instead. So, I mean, the Lakers, I could at least see, like, he's better than Rajon Rondo. He would yep. give them, you know, a nice lift off the bench, a nice second unit scorer, especially in a hypothetical matchup with the Clippers. Like, he could be the counterpart to Lou Williams going nuts off the bench. The problem... Well, oh, go ahead.
I mean, Patrick Beverley exists.
Yeah, true. Do you think he would be Rose would be starting, though? I feel like he'd still come off the bench.
No, I think he'd be starting.
Really?
Yeah. It's Tinseltown. He's a former MVP. He's played with LeBron before. There's the Chicago connection with him and AD.
Oh.
I think some of the guys would pull rank. I would not. I don't think necessarily he would come off the bench.
I would be very out on that idea. If they bring him off the bench, I could at least see it.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm pretty out on the idea of Derrick Rose in the NBA.
Yeah, right. You and me both. The problem for the Lakers is that they've gave up so much to get Anthony Davis, which. That worked out very well for them so far. I'm not blaming them for that. It was a smart trade. But that leaves their cupboard pretty dry in terms of what they can offer the Pistons for Derrick Rose. Right. Really, all they have... I mean, with all due respect to Alex Caruso, the only thing they have of value to offer is Kyle Kuzma. So do you
think... Maybe they can match all-star votes instead of salary.
Right. In that case... Caruso is perfect. But do you think, would you, if you're the Lakers, would you give up Kuzma to get Rose?
No. No. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to trading Kuzma, but I wouldn't trade him to get Rose.
Right. That's where I am, too.
And I'm actually saying that fully realizing that I don't have an alternative ready.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have one guy singled out going, that's the guy you get for Kuzma. I don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think Rose is the guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky because, you know, obviously LeBron and Anthony Davis are going nowhere. They're not trading Danny Green. A number of their guys have no trade clauses. KCP, Rondo, I forget the third one, but there's one more who does as well.
Is it Bradley?
It might be Bradley, yeah. I can double check for a second here. But either way, I mean, that's going to restrict the amount of salary they can bring back in any deal, and like I don't know why KCP is going to accept a trade to Detroit unless I don't think
he's homesick.
Yeah, I don't think he has many fond memories there, but maybe I'm wrong. So that's going to make it tricky for them to get. Like my first thought is go after a guy like Robert Covington, who's not necessarily a star, but you know a nice 3-and-D piece who's signed through 2021-2022. Yeah.
I mean, that's a great idea if 28 other teams weren't chasing him.
Right, but Kuzma, I think, for the Pistons is probably a pretty interesting piece. Or, sorry, for the Wolves? Yeah. Or for any team. Any rebuilding team is going to look at Kyle Kuzma and say, you know what, that's actually, like, yeah, he's a victim of the Lakers being overhyping him, blah, blah, blah. But, like,
right.
The guy did still average 19 points a game, basically, in his second season in the NBA. He's fallen off this year because the fit just doesn't really make sense with LeBron and AD, especially if they're going to play, you know, JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard at center. That means AD's moving down to the four, LeBron's moving down to three. Where does that leave Kuzma? I don't know. So I'm with you. I think it's the Lakers are at least smart to entertain offers, and it sounds like they have, based on reports from Sam Amick and Shams Charania of The Athletic. They reported earlier this month that they're at least, like, listening on Kuzma deals. It's just, yeah, I don't think Rose is the type of guy. I know he's signed through next season, so that's something, but I feel like if you're, like, Kuzma's your last chip, basically. Like, you are so all in on James and Davis. Kuzma is your last opportunity to really upgrade alongside those guys before, you know, for the next couple of years. So you got to shoot high.
Can you trade? So who is on? Just let's figure out who's on the no trade clause. If it's Avery Bradley,
is it JaVale McGee?
JaVale McGee.
Yeah, it is JaVale McGee.
All right, so Avery Bradley is fully capable of getting traded.
Yes.
So if you package him with Kyle, you can get a bigger salary guy back.
Yeah.
So Kyle's at $2 million. Bradley is at 3.7. So that's roughly.
You know, I'm seeing Bradley at 4.8.
Well, oh yeah, yeah, it's 4.767.
Yeah, yeah.
So 8. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, because I had a guy in mind, but the thing is, the value doesn't align.
Okay.
But the fit would.
Who?
And that's Seth Curry.
Ooh. Okay.
I get it. Like, again, you know, Lakers fans would listen to this and go, Kuzma and
right.
Like,
right. For sure.
Avery Bradley?
Yeah.
No, and I get that. You could attach more things to that package from Dallas' side, obviously. Mm-hmm. But just in terms of the fit, like, Seth Curry would be a guy I think would do so well on the Lakers because of his shooting ability, and he can run the floor a little bit. Handle the rock and run the team, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I again, values won't align, so you have to figure out some sort of way to make it a little bit more even.
Right.
But the parameters of such a deal would be interesting, especially also with the prospect of getting Kuzma to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a deal to be made there. Realistically.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes it tricky for the Lakers in general. Like, they and the Sixers are somewhat in the same boat when it comes to the trade deadline, where they just don't have big salaries that they can trade. I mean, Bradley is earning the exact same amount of money as Mike Scott. They have DeMarcus Cousins, who he's at $3.5 million. He's not going to play this year, but you can use him as salary ballast. Yep. Quinn Cook at $3 million, Caruso at $2.7 million, and then Kuzma at $1.9 million. So, I mean, I just double-checked. It looks like Bradley and Kuzma for Covington is cap legal, but that's probably too much to give up for. I mean, Bradley's been playing well for them this year, so that's probably too much to give up for Covington. I think the Timberwolves would have to probably include a pick as well, and I don't think they'd be inclined to necessarily do that. So, I don't know. I mean,
it's difficult. It's difficult to align values, which is, yeah. I just wrote a piece today about trade values, actually, where I just tore the term a new one. So for me to sit here and talk about values, it's unavoidable.
Right.
But yeah, you will need to find a way to align that and figure out a way to make an even trade. And I think for the Lakers specifically, because of the way that they're structured and Kyle Kuzma's contract is structured, it's just going to be a challenge to find a guy who makes the right amount of money and who aligns in terms of, you know, on-court production value.
Right.
Right. It's not going to be easy. I don't think this isn't a guy like Lakers fans believe that you can just trade for a star. Like Pascal Siakam is not coming.
No.
Through that door for Kyle Kuzma. That's not happening. All, you know, obviously aside from the salary perspective.
Right.
But just in terms of the value, like he's not that guy you can go out and use and just get some type of future superstar back. It's just not there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And because you mentioned your column today and you cold-heartedly ripped our newest sponsor in said column, you just reminded me that I want to pivot to the Sixers for a second because it's equally complicated to trade for Rose. You could do like Mike Scott for him, but I don't know why the Pistons would do that. I think the most logical construct is Zaire Smith and probably Jonah Bolden for Derrick Rose, but I have a better idea, a bigger idea, a bolder idea. So the Sixers have...
Wait. You know, we have to present the sponsor first.
Presented by our new sponsor, The Ringer, the host of the best trade proposals on the internet ever. Just before the internet existed, they've been coming up with great stuff for years. And this part is actually something they said. The Sixers have, quote-unquote, an extra center. I'm not making this up. An extra center. And the one they identified is Joel Embiid. He's the extra one. I guess they're building around a 33-year-old Al Horford who can't defend the rim. Great. So if we're giving away Joel Embiid, let's do Derrick Rose and Reggie Jackson for Joel Embiid and Raul Neto. And before you shoot this down, hear me out. First of all, the Sixers, as we saw Monday, really need a point guard that they can play alongside Ben Simmons. Because when they do that, you can facilitate, like, Simmons against the Nets played a lot of the five. He played with Neto and was fantastic in that role. We haven't seen enough of that this year, and I know a lot of Sixers Twitter has been clamoring to play Ben with another point guard and let him operate as a role man off the ball, as a screener, whatever. In this deal, they're getting two point guards, Derrick Rose and Reggie Jackson. So now they could have the best Ben Simmons yet. And they have all they're giving up is this extra center that they apparently don't need anymore. This guy who's always hurt, and maybe he's just going to be Yao Ming, which was another take on their podcast yesterday. I don't know. Who says no, Mort?
Nope, I don't either. That, you're not wrong. That's Oh, God. They're so bad. I'm sorry. Look, I really didn't want to go down this path, but they're so horrible. My goodness. I mean, look, so the piece that I wrote today on Forbes, in regards to trade value, it was, also from The Ringer.
Yeah.
And The Ringer's boss, Bill Simmons, who wants $200 billion for his empire, despite it being valued at 90, but okay, mm-hmm. That's a different tale for a different day. He was like, so the Sixers could, they're looking at all these injury issues with Embiid. Like when you're center at a certain size, you're just going to have some injury issues and all that. So why not trade high?
Yeah.
And in my piece, I more or less argued, well, you know what? If the Sixers have that fear because of his injuries, other teams might have those fears too.
Right.
Like this idea that you can trade high on a guy that you have severe concerns about, like that's just a false premise. That's not logical. And oh man, look, I miss Grantland so much. That was actually quality, and I have a feeling that it's because of the presence of Zach Lowe.
Yeah,
The Ringer is I just have no look. I was taught that if I don't have anything kind to say, I shouldn't say it. I don't always follow that lecture, but now I will.
All I have to say is I really like Rob Mahoney and Dan Devine. They do good work.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Those were great additions, and I hope they take over the ship.
Right.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, let's move on from fake Derek
Rose. I think we lost our sponsor.
Probably. But we'll move on from fake Derek Rose trade proposals. Let's instead turn to a very unfortunate piece of news. Dwight Powell is out. He's officially confirmed that he tore his Achilles tendon last night against the Clippers. You know, it was pretty clear what happened right away. Went down with a non-contact injury. I saw like a slow-mo replay of it where you could see the thing pop. It was just awful.
Yeah.
So first of all, just best wishes to Dwight Powell. You know, he's a very underrated part of this Mavericks team that has been one of the best surprises of the season. And it sounds like, you know, based on reports from beat writers, that he's a huge part, not only on the court, but a huge part of their culture. So it sucks that this happened, and you know, best wishes to him. Hope he comes back even better. With that said, I think this probably affects Dallas's thinking heading into the trade deadline. Where, you know, maybe beforehand, you identify, okay, we need another wing stopper or something like that to help reduce the load on Luka, whereas now it's like, okay, well, Dwight Powell was playing 26 minutes a game for us. Who is going to fill that role at center? We still have Porzingis, we still have Kleba, we have Boban, but our depth chart at the five is starting to look a little thin. So how do you think this affects them going into the trade deadline, Mort?
Well, if we channel our inner ringer, they should trade Luka, right? Because then they actually, for a center, because then one, they get a center, and then two, they don't have to worry about wasting his potential.
That's Boom. True. Yeah, that's
there
a good
go.
Point.
I think they should definitely pivot a little bit in on the trade deadline to see if they can get someone to man up the five spot. But though I wouldn't go all in. And by that I mean I wouldn't go all in on a guy necessarily on a long-term contract,
mm-hmm.
Unless I was really sure about that guy. So before we start recording, we were actually spitballing some names. You mentioned Dwayne Dedmon,
mm-hmm.
who obviously has not lived up to expectations in Sacramento this year. But whereas I said, well, if you get the Dwayne Dedmon of last year, how he played with Atlanta, then I would probably do it. But the thing is, you don't know. You just don't know what kind of version of Dwayne Dedmon you're going to be getting. And he's locked up for next year at least. And then he does have a third year on his contract, but I'm fairly certain that's only partially guaranteed, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, let me just look it up.
Yeah.
It's actually non-guaranteed.
Oh, even better.
So it's effectively a contract lasting a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
That I could be convinced to doing that. If it's something longer, I would hesitate unless the player is just a clear-cut fit alongside Luka. Like one where you can just look at the game right now and go, oh yeah, for sure, he would fit Luka.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, no, I wouldn't panic. Like Luka is 20, Porzingis is what, 24, 23?
Yeah.
Something along
right.
those
lines. Both guys are very much on the right side of, not only on the right side of 30, they're on the right side of 25. Dare to dream.
24, yeah.
I remember those days.
Right, so I wouldn't be nervous in that sense. Right. I do want to make it a priority to get them into the playoffs, but I mean, look, currently they're 27-16.
Mm-hmm.
They're fifth in the West.
Mm-hmm.
And while I do think that they lost a major, major key here, I don't see this Dwight Powell loss as necessarily throwing them away from the playoff race.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they were so right in it with the Clippers up until really the final possession last night. So they proved, even, you know, Powell went down pretty early in that game, they proved they can still compete with a team that many people, at least heading into the season, were picking to make it to the finals.
Right.
I mean, they do have Courtney Lee's $12.7 million expiring contract. So they have things that they can... They have the salary, at least, to grease the wheels on trades. They've already traded their 2021 and 2023 first round picks to New York for Porzingis. The 2023 first round pick is top 10 protected, so they would, the earliest pick they could trade is 2025, and that's going to be conditional. Just they'll just have to do, you know, 2 years after the 2023 or whatever that conveys. They've already sent their 2022nd to Philly. They get the more favorable of Golden State or Houston's second round pick this year. So I'm going to go ahead and say that's probably going to be Golden State's, possibly, you know, what's looking like a very early second round pick. So they have that to dangle with Courtney Lee. But I agree with you that, you know, I mean, in all likelihood, Powell's definitely out for the rest of this year. He's probably going to miss some time next year as well. So I agree that they don't need necessarily like a new long-term center, but I wouldn't be totally opposed to trading for someone with 2 years left on his contract with that in mind.
Well, again, that depending on the player and the fit.
Yeah, right. So
because let me just interject. Yeah. My apologies, but yeah, this is a very crucial point. Even though we sit here and we say, well, they're so young, there's also a different aspect of this. It's that even though Luka and Porzingis are so young, they're still already in a win-now situation because they're so good.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I just want to make it absolutely clear that I'm not saying that they can afford to basically tank a year or just sit a year out of competitive ball.
Right.
They still have to be aggressive in making that team competitive over the next 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I think it is, they can't just spend away that money or those trade assets on whoever to fill the man spot, to fill the five spot. They
right.
still have to have some thought into it. Like, I agree with you that you could get a center with 2, maybe 3 years remaining. It just needs to be the right guy, because if they acquire someone who is not a fit with Luka and Porzingis, then that contract's going to look bad. It's going to be a problem on the court.
Definitely.
They have to be careful.
Yeah, and it's hard to, I mean, Drummond is obviously floating out there, but I don't think they can really, I don't think they have whatever Detroit's going to want. I mean, Courtney Lee's not enough to match salaries. So you'd have to include Tim Hardaway as well. You're probably not going to do that. Or you could, I guess, throw in like D'Lon Wright,
yep,
Seth Curry, whatever. I still don't even think that would be enough.
Well, I mean, what are the offers that Detroit are getting right now?
That's fair. Cleveland, Kevin Love, no, doesn't do it for me. Indiana and Miles Turner would be interesting, but I don't think the Mavs have enough to pry him away.
It depends on the trade value, again, and like I mentioned in my piece earlier today, was trade value is in the eye of the beholder, really. It's a very subjective thing. On the surface, I would agree with you.
Yeah.
But give me your best, though. What's the best offer
that you can get from Miles, or that you could assemble, yeah, if you're from Dallas, for Miles, yeah, Turner?
Yes. Because you can, and remember, you can make the argument, like, Sabonis is clearly better.
Right, yeah. If they're going to eventually pick between the two, they are very clearly picking Sabonis. And Sabonis also signed the extension this year, so he, you know, like we discussed with Ben Simmons last time, you cannot find a way to trade him. That makes sense this year. It's just not going to happen. So if they're doing the one or the other thing this year, it's Turner, signed, sealed, delivered. Yeah, I mean,
although, I mean, I don't think necessarily that Indiana would do it, but Goga?
Oh.
That could be interesting. Like a long-term piece. You would have to add draft consideration, future draft considerations, and you would have to give up something else, like maybe Jalen Brunson, Isaiah Roby, or something. Like, you would have to give up something that you are relying upon for the future, but like Goga, like, then you go all out on the European angle. But he's another inside-outside guy.
Yeah, yeah,
that's true. But like, he's another inside-outside guy who could become really, really good, and you'll have to ask yourself, is there a future there in Indiana if they keep Miles Turner and Sabonis around?
Right.
I mean, maybe not, right?
Probably not. Yeah, I mean, the best I could do is, I don't even know, like Courtney Lee and Seth Curry, Dorian Finney-Smith, Justin Jackson. Like, we're not channeling our sponsors. So Luka and Kristaps are obviously off the table. I don't think they need DeLon Wright. They've got plenty of point guards. You're not giving up Kleba because you need all the big man depth you can get. Justin Jackson.
Yeah, and Kleber is good, and people need to start recognizing, yeah.
Right, yeah, like Justin Jackson hasn't done enough to, I don't think he's going to be like the main selling point for Turner, so.
No, he's not attractive.
Yeah, so I think that's probably off the table, but.
Yeah.
I mean, the Knicks have a, Lord knows the Knicks have enough big men, they could spare one. But again,
that's true.
Yeah, I don't know what, like Dallas, it's tough because if you're trying to say like we're gonna give you something to facilitate a rebuild, it's like okay, cool, you can give Courtney Lee's expiring contract, you can give cap relief, but you can't really give picks. I mean, you can give the Golden State second rounder, but that's about it.
Portis?
Yeah, like Portis or Gibson. Are there and presumably there for the taking.
Well, I mean, Portis would probably fit the age requirement a little bit more.
Oh, like, for
you
sure.
Don't really know with Gibson.
Yeah.
Stronger defender for sure. Arguably the better player right now,
mm-hmm.
but down the line, like, here's the thing. I think it's important for them to also just, for Dallas specifically, to think, what do we want? Do we want a short-term fix, or do we also want a guy that we can use long-term?
Right.
Like, that has to be part of the conversation, and maybe Portis is that guy. I mean, right now, his reputation is so low, which I don't really agree with. He's made some mistakes, for sure, but I don't think he's... The reputation of him being, like, a bad person, mm-hmm. and... you know, one of those dirty players, I don't think holds true whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So maybe there is some hidden value there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I kind of like a Portis idea, even though the defense is atrocious.
Right. That would not help. I mean, Orlando is the other team where that comes to mind if you're talking about clogged front court. But, you know, Isaac is out for most, if not all, of the rest of the season. Aminu is already definitely out for the rest of the season. I don't think you can pry Bombo away.
It's Aaron Gordon you should try to pry away, though.
Yeah, but again, like, what does Dallas have to offer?
No, I agree. But, like, if you're going to Orlando to look at a big man...
Yeah.
You look at Aaron Gordon. That's the guy you want. That's the guy who could conceivably, like, turn his career around in Dallas.
I
know that Orlando would probably not just give him up for nothing.
Right. I wonder. I mean, they do need, like, Markel's playing well this year, but other than that, they're basically completely devoid of a reliable point guard.
Correct.
I wonder if they would have interest in DeLon Wright.
I mean, I think I don't think they wouldn't have interest in him. I just think they wouldn't do it for Gordon specifically. You would need to add some components to it, but
yeah.
So what is Gordon earning right now? He's at 19.8.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you actually give them more guards, if you give them DeLon
and like Seth Curry.
And Seth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
even the Golden State second.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I don't think we're done. They need to somehow get additional seconds as well.
Yeah.
But, like, if Orlando bites on that, which I don't think is a slam dunk by any stretch.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, that's a clear-cut winner.
Yeah.
For Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah. All of this is to say, like, with the Courtney Lee contract and with the Golden State second, Dallas is at least in a better spot to make moves than the Lakers or the Sixers. Or, I mean, Lakers at least has Kuzma. The Sixers have really nothing except for future picks to offer, and Zaire Smith, who may or may not be good. So they at least have the pieces to match big salaries and get a deal done. It's still just kind of tricky to find a fit that makes sense for both sides, but I'm sure they're going to be probing the market in the coming days to see how they can adjust in the wake of this very unfortunate Dwight Powell injury.
I have one last name to throw your way, though.
Okay.
Derek Favors.
Oh, I don't think the Pelicans are giving him up. I think they want to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so too, but I wonder how many minutes he's going to play moving forward when Zion returns tonight.
Yeah.
We're recording this on Wednesday,
right?
The 22nd of January, of course.
Yeah.
So when you're listening to this, you'll know if Zion has been amazing. And right now, I was actually sitting here going, yeah, I'm going to stay up tonight. And then I realized the game is going to be on at 3:30 in the morning.
Yep.
I don't know what to do. So, yeah.
Go to bed early, set an alarm, wake up early.
Yeah, I'm not that type of guy. If I go to bed early, I'm snoring away, and then when my alarm rings, I'm just like, F that.
That's fair. That's me too.
No, but yeah. I mean, obviously you would have to incentivize it, but Favors would look really good there.
Yeah, I mean, he's played a huge part in New Orleans' turnaround. Their defense was atrocious while he was out early in the season. Yep. He comes back, all of a sudden they're a competent basketball team. I don't think it's a coincidence. Again, it just comes down to what does Dallas have to offer. And, I mean, you're probably greasing the wheels again with Courtney Lee's expiring, but I don't think that does anything for the Pelicans.
You need more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okafor would be the guy I would maybe... I mean, I don't think he really addresses the... I don't think you want to lead on Jahlil Okafor as your 30-plus minute a game starter, but he's at least cheap.
Well, I mean, look, you're only looking at replacing Powell's minutes, right?
Yeah.
What was he at? 28?
26-ish?
26-ish.
Yeah, 26.5.
Okay. So if you basically say that Josh should play 24 minutes a night, come on, that's feasible.
Yeah. I don't think
that's a half.
Yeah, I don't think you're, like, making noise in the playoffs with starting center Jahlil Okafor, but...
No. No, maybe not, but it would provide, you know, Dallas with a pretty good opportunity of basically dropping the ball. I know that Rick Carlisle has gone on about not giving Kristaps post touches and, like, the post is inefficient.
That's true.
So already there, that's probably a big negative.
Right.
However, if Okafor can prove himself efficient down there, then I have to imagine that Rick's going to look at the numbers instead of, like, some preconceived notion. So, best case scenario, Okafor comes in, he becomes like a post-up threat here and there, and you can give him the ball like 5 or 6 times a game to do something with it and basically have Luka and Kristaps sit out that play and just chill a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, the good thing is he's only earning $1.7 million, so it's very easy to match salary for him.
He seems to move on.
Yeah, and I can't imagine... The Pelicans are going to expect a huge return from him. I mean, they have Jackson Hayes to back up Favors and now Zion as well. So, yeah, I think that's probably, if you're looking at, like, bargain options, that's probably a good place to start. Ken Birch, too, for Orlando.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. But let's get Mason Ginsburg on the phone at some point. Yeah. Just, hey,
yeah.
do you want to give away Jahlil Okafor?
He would very quickly say yes.
Yes, I think he would.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Mort. It's your favorite time of the year. All-star starters are getting announced tomorrow. So let's run through I guess, our picks for the starting lineup, although you've already said that you're going to completely flout the starting rules. And to be clear, the breakdown in terms of how these things get selected, I believe it's 50% fan vote, 25% media, and then 25% players, if I'm not mistaken. We're not going
to... I don't know.
Yeah, we're not going to take the fan vote into account here. This is just who we would pick as starters, because, you know, the fan vote is going to skew things, and, like, Alex Caruso is fourth or fifth in the fan vote, so whatever. Let's start in the West, because I think that's a little bit easier, especially compared to the East with the backcourt, which we'll get into. So,
yeah,
West backcourt.
That's the most locked up position ever.
Yes. Okay.
James Harden and Luka Doncic.
Yes.
Like, obviously.
Yes. I will say, it physically pains me that Damian Lillard cannot be a starter, because he's having a monster season. As, I mean, he dropped a career-high 61 against the Warriors on Monday night. And it's just like, with Steph out for the, I mean, not the whole season, but, you know, injured for most of the season now.
Yeah.
Dame is the one guy where it's like, every time he shoots, I just expect it to go in, even in the most ridiculous circumstances. Like, the three he hit to tie the game at the end of regulation, it's just
that,
like,
incredible.
What do you even do against that? That was good defense. It's just like,
yep.
My God, it's unfair. So,
he's the league's best point guard who's healthy right now. Like, yeah, because Steph is out.
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, look, people are still going on and on about, like, hey, well, Russell Westbrook assist.
Like, No. That ship has sailed.
Yes. Well, thank you. Yeah. I've been saying that for years.
Yeah. I think it was
Dame
closer.
Is by far. What?
I think it was closer in years past, but the two have gone on very opposite trajectories.
Well, I'm light years ahead, so that's why.
There we go. Yeah.
No, I think Dame is clearly the best point guard right now.
Yeah.
With Steph out, I mean, who's the competition? It's not Kyrie.
No.
Certainly not Kyrie.
No.
It's not Chris Paul. Like, yeah. It's not Kemba.
No.
Who is it?
It's weird because we have so many teams now that have, like Giannis is kind of a point guard. Jimmy Butler is kind of a point guard. Ben Simmons is kind of a point guard. Jokic Harden, is kind Luka, of a point guard. Yeah, Luka as well. So it's... Yeah, it's hard to say. I feel like best pure point guard, I have no problems with that take. I don't think it's a take.
Right, I agree with you. Like, it's a shame he's not there.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm going to mess up with the rules. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I was going to say, like, that's the one where if I can break rules, I would just move Dame to the East, and he would be my other East backcourt starter. And then that's two birds, one stone. Because the other starter spot in the East backcourt is a mess, and I'm still trying to work my way through that one, which we'll get to in a bit.
So here's my problem, though.
Okay.
I feel like it's difficult to remove anyone else from that lineup in the West, because if we look at the front court, I'm pretty sure that you have both LeBron and Anthony Davis in there.
Yeah.
Right. I have Kawhi as the third front court guy.
Yep.
And I know that he's missed time, but I don't care because Kawhi is awesome.
Yep. Me too.
And I just want to replace one of the Lakers with Dame.
Mm.
Because then you get somewhat fair representation. You still get a Laker, you just don't get two. And I realized by saying that, Lakers fans are going to be very, very upset. Mm-hmm. But sorry, guys. You're a lot better than in years past, so maybe that should be consolidation enough.
Yes.
But I don't know who. I don't know whether I take LeBron out or Davis. I'm leaning LeBron just because he's been there so many times.
So the you've had too much fun. Let someone else have a chance.
A little bit. Yes.
But he actually tried in the regular season for the first time in a half decade.
I'm not saying he should make the team.
Yeah.
I don't know. It can be either guy. I just want Dame in there somehow.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Like, Dame is having one of the 10 best seasons in the NBA this year. So it sucks that he can't. Again, I think that the easiest solution, because I hear you in wanting to get him into the West starting lineup, but I just don't think there's a great argument. Like, LeBron and Anthony Davis are also just both monsters. LeBron's averaging a career high in assists, which somehow is going somewhat under the radar, I feel like.
Yeah, and at the age of 75, that's impressive.
Right? I mean, his previous high was 9.1 in Cleveland 2 years ago. He's at 11.0. He's leading the league in assists this year.
No, he's remarkable, and he's playing defense.
It's
all very, very anti-LeBron, this thing.
Yeah. He's been excellent. And then Davis, I know he just missed a couple games with the bruised butt, but he's come, you know, his rebounds are slightly down, but that's what happens when you play not only next to Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee, but also LeBron James.
Yeah, but you know what? I have the argument now.
Okay.
Last year, you know, voters were basically just saying, hey, Jimmy Butler should make the All-Star game because he's been like this nuisance, right? Remember? Well, what Davis basically dragged the league through, and observers and fans and all of that, then let's just make it like a moral reason.
A moral stance. Don't let, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Especially compare, like, I feel like the sentiment toward him was very negative in the midst of that, but he's gotten over it remarkably quickly compared to, like, the Dwightmare.
Correct. Too quickly. Let's penalize him a little bit more.
That's a fair point. I'm not entirely opposed to that.
I just want Dame in, and now I found a reason.
Yeah.
I found a reason. Dave is out, so it's LeBron, Kawhi, Harden, Luka, and Dame. And I don't care about positions. It don't work.
Right.
Because of the rules. And I say screw the rules.
But you
that's my West.
I mean, you could also put Luka as a front court player. Like, this is the one thing that, I mean, I'm not as anti All-Star game as you by any means. I enjoy it. It's just dumb. It's like you turn your brain off for a weekend, that whatever. I will say it's becoming more and more difficult to justify having, I know they switched from like specific positions to just backcourt and front court now.
Right.
As we mentioned before, like, Dame might be the best pure point guard in the league because there are so many guys who are just exceedingly versatile. Like, I don't know why Luka Doncic qualifies as a backcourt player and Ben Simmons qualifies as a backcourt player, but Jimmy Butler, who is smaller than both of those guys, qualifies as a frontcourt player. It just makes it more difficult to fill out these lineups. Like, if Jimmy Butler was a considered a guard, the Eastern Conference All-Stars would be a lot easier to fill out. But because he's a frontcourt player, now we're left with I don't know if he could start because he's competing with some really good candidates, but there's a glaring hole at the backcourt spot. So it's the same deal here.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Because that's what I've done.
Yeah, right. So you just effectively shifted Luka to the front court, Dame to the backcourt.
Regardless of how it works out, yes. But I was talking about Jimmy Butler specifically.
Oh, okay.
I moved him down to the guard spot. I have Embiid, Giannis, Siakam, Butler, Kemba on the East.
Embiid, Giannis. Yeah. That's right. So let's go to the East now.
I'm already there. Like I said, light years.
Right.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, that's the Eastern Conference backcourt, I think, is the hardest thing to fill out. I agree with you that Kemba should be in. There are so many candidates for that other second backcourt spot, but none of them have a very convincing case to get it. Like, I think Ben Simmons, Trae Young, Beal, Brogdon, you can even go down Lowry, Dinwiddie. Like, all of these guys have convincing all-star cases. I don't think any of them have been good enough. Like, you know, I saw John Hollinger put out his all-star team, his Eastern Conference all-star team this morning, and he had Ben as his other starting guard. And durability was basically the argument for it, which I respect to some extent, but he also didn't have Embiid in his starting lineup. I think Simmons, other than this past week, hasn't been, I mean, he's been lights out defensively this year, but I don't think he's been as consistent offensively as he has been in the past. So I think he's a clear starter or a clear all-star. I wouldn't put him in my starting lineup.
Yeah, that's fair.
Trae Young, he's putting up ridiculous numbers, but he's on, you know, a 10-34 team and he doesn't play defense. Like, why are we going to give him a starting all-star nod when we've been looking at Devin Booker for the last few years and saying, like, all right, you're putting up empty stats on a bad team? So that probably disqualifies him and Bradley Beal to some extent. Like, I mean, Beal's putting up great numbers as well, but that entire Wizards team, with the one exception of that Heat game that I went to, that was the only game they played defense the entire year. And I appreciate them for doing it while I was there. But, you know, if Beal and Young, I think, are the same kind of deal where it's like, well, you're playing one half the court, you're putting up great numbers on a bad team, whatever. Brogdon, I mean, he missed, I think, 12 games already this year. So if we're using the durability argument, that's going to hurt him. He's a huge reason for their success early this year without Oladipo, so I think he deserves to get recognized for that. But, you know, he's averaging 17, 7, and 4. Those aren't, like, typical all-star numbers, quote-unquote. His shooting splits are significantly down from what he's not in the 50-40-90 club by any means. That basically 44-34, 93. So, again, it's like, I don't have a good argument for anyone except, as you mentioned, Jimmy Butler. If they put him as a guard, problem solved.
Yeah. He's a clear-cut all-star starter material.
Yeah.
And he plays, you know, the wing position.
Right.
So effective, and he has a history of playing the two.
Yeah. I mean, he's their de facto point guard.
Yes.
But, like, it goes back to, like, I don't understand why Ben Simmons is a guard and he's listed as a forward. It just seems dumb.
Because the whole thing is dumb, Brian.
I know. Well, it's, I just, you know, the NBA is, like, trying to, it's just become very hard to identify a player as X, Y, or Z. It's just, like, all of these guys are starting to do everything. So
what was that college team that just started everyone at B for basketball player?
I don't know, but that's great.
Yeah, it is. That was pretty good. We should do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I would be at this point, I know the centers were arguing, like, well, if we get rid of the center spot, no center is ever going to make the All-Star game. It's like, well, Joel Embiid exists. Anthony Davis, Nikola Jokic exist. Like, they're going to make the All-Star game.
Davis is a four, according to himself. Remember?
Right, that's true. Fine. Jokic. I was about to say Gobert, but that's a bad example.
Should we just basically switch it up in terms of the All-Star format instead of going with all this, you know, the winning and all of that?
Mm-hmm.
I've always found it strange that the All-Star game has to come down to winning. I get that the whole idea, the whole concept is putting together the best players and the best players win. Mm-hmm. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But the game's not being treated as a game where the best players meet up.
Right.
It is functioning as a highlight factory.
Yeah.
If that's the case, why not just ignore all this context about winning and best players and then put in Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon and Trae Young and all the exciting guys,
right,
and just say, hey, for the next 48 minutes, your goal is to put up 250 points for your team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if I'm not breaking the rules and putting Jimmy Butler as my second guard in the East, I'm almost inclined to put Trae Young in there just for the entertainment factor, for no other reason than that. But
right,
just because, like, oh, you know what would be fun in an exhibition game where all they do is chuck threes? How about Trae Young dribbling through Fred VanVleet's legs and then attempting a 35-footer? Because that's what he did in an actual basketball game Monday.
Yep.
Like,
he missed badly, but yeah.
Oh, man. If he hit that shot, the entire roof would have blown off of that stadium.
Oh, that would have been great. But no, I completely agree with you. This is a game that's also wasted when you look at Pascal Siakam, who can score from literally everywhere on the court,
mm-hmm.
and it's basically his intelligence level that makes him so appealing.
Right.
Like, in a run-and-gun system, like, no. That's not who he is. He's a guy who thinks the game out. Like, even Jimmy Butler, even the Jimmy that we talk about, like, who we love in that sense, and it's like, no, he's not an all-star, like, showboat player.
Right.
He's a half-court guy, like, break it down, throw it to the corner, get it back, you know, slash, get to the line. That type of dude.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to make the all-star game fun, fine, but then change the format.
Right.
I've been saying for years that what I wanted was an all-NBA game instead. Like, with the best players, and where the entire thing is, like, there's something on the line, so everyone makes it competitive.
Right.
But it has to be something big. Because I wrote an article for my Danish patron the other day about the All-Star game. And here's the thing. Even if you put up, like, $1 million for, like, you know, the winner,
mm-hmm.
it is such a small drop in the bucket that no one will care.
Right.
And even if you raise that up to 10 million, like, nobody's going to care because they're earning $30 and $40 million. And off the court, they're making like $50 million.
Wouldn't it be great to, like, not care if someone offered you an extra $10 million?
I would feel sleazy if I found myself not caring about
that. Right? It's just...
But I'm a gross European socialist. You have to remember that.
There you go. Fair point. Yeah. Well, as a dirty American capitalist, I would also feel like, holy crap, someone's offering me $10 million. I guess I'll try for 48 minutes.
I mean, right? Yeah. No, I just, the game, this is why the game bothers me. I used to wake up every Monday morning, because the game was on during the night, and before I had access to the games, I would plan ahead. I would set my clock to 20 minutes earlier on Monday mornings just so I can go check the box scores and see some of the few highlights on NBA.com.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that was with the dial-up internet and everything.
Oh,
like,
no.
Oh, I got to see Allen Iverson do a crossover and a layup. Like, wow, big whoop, right?
Yeah.
And you know, now it's just, it's very accessible, and there's no enjoyment in it. Like, even my son, 8-year-olds, which should be the target audience, he was like, Dad, why don't they play defense?
Right.
If an 8-year-old can identify that.
Yeah.
Like, come on, then something's wrong. This is why I'm bothered by the weekend. So either make it, you know, the entertaining as hell kind of game, and you get the right guys in to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get the good players in and you put something on the line and you make it a proper game.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
the adults.
With full realization that if Jazz Twitter gets to this take, I'm going to die. That's why Rudy Gobert, like, he is playing at an all-star caliber level. He deserves to be an all-star. I do not want to see Rudy Gobert in the all-star game. Because he's just going to be wasted.
I think there are Jazz fans who wouldn't want to see him in the All-Star game. Come
yeah, on. I mean, it's just going to waste what he does well. Like, he's not going to, unless he starts chucking threes, in which case I'm all here for it.
I can just imagine LeBron going for a GM Gobert, blocking it, and LeBron looking at it all weird, and Rudy going, "What? I play defense."
Right, right, right. What? Didn't Kobe or D-Wade broke Kobe's nose, right? Or was it Kobe who broke D-Wade? One of them broke each other's nose, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's something along those lines. Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to see more of that. I would also
more broken noses? Okay.
No, just playing defense. I would also, what if Ben Simmons hadn't taken a three yet, or hadn't hit a three yet, and his first three came in the All-Star game?
See, that would be so funny. Right? Philly fans would actually cry.
Yeah. Oh man. Then he could be an All-Star star. If Ben Simmons promises to take at least 3 3-point shots in the All-Star game, he's my second starter for real.
No, I see. This is where the Ben Simmons would have to be absurd to make it fun for the All-Star game. If he came in and said, you know what, I want to play every quarter because I want to launch 10 threes in a quarter, yeah, per quarter.
Yeah.
So 40 for the game.
Yeah.
Now, that would be way more entertaining to me, even if he missed all 40.
Right.
Than the current show that it is now. Current crap show that it is now.
I mean, he's at least... His style of play is such that he isn't wasted in the All-Star game because he's so good in transition and he can fly in for ridiculous dunks and lobs. So he's an entertaining type of player. Like, I worry... I mean, we'll get into our reserves next week, but, like, spoiler alert, Bam Adebayo is going to be one of my reserves, and I worry that he's going to be wasted in the All-Star game too.
Yeah, because who wants elbow passing?
Right, right, exactly. So...
You know what? That's why Mike Conley never made it. People were like,
"Yeah, probably."
You know what? I don't think anyone wants to see like perfectly thrown entry passes,
right? Not until April.
Not until April, but like, oh man, this. You know, see, I was actually looking forward to this episode because I was thinking, "Yeah, okay, we broke the system. That's fine." But like now that I'm just reminding of the All-Star quality, oh.
Yeah,
we have another one to go, but at least that's going to be fun because there are going to be first time All Stars.
Yeah, I mean, Luka's going to be a first time. Luka is guaranteed to be a first time All Star, which is that'll be nice for you.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, there are a lot of guys. You know, I was trying to come up with my list of reserves while I was doing my starters as well. I have at least 6 guys in there right now that would be first time All Stars, not including Luka.
Yeah, the two Boston guys. Donovan Mitchell. Oh man, Donnie. Donnie was born for the All-Star format.
Yeah, yeah, and like, I'm still not totally. I haven't finalized my list by any means, but just throwing names out there as possibilities. Trae Young, Devin Booker, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah,
Brandon Ingram.
Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for a specific player. Yeah,
LaVine.
No, dude. Ja.
Oh no, he's not going to get there this year. He's going to be fun when he does, but he's not getting there this year.
I don't care.
Yeah,
I want him in. I'm going to break all the rules. I'm going to do whatever I want next time we record.
That's fair. That's fair. I mean, Sabonis is another potential first-time All-Star, but another guy that I worry will just be wasted in this game.
Yeah, but he should be in, though.
Yeah.
He's too good.
Yeah.
Like, the dude is averaging 18, 13, and 4. Yep. Come on.
On a team that is much better than it has any business being without its best player.
Which I sort of predicted.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you. I should be an All-Star.
We're All-Star podcasters. That's what I name us to the NBA All-Star podcast too.
This is so pathetic.
That's a good place to wrap up because I know we can't inundate you with too much All-Star content, at least until next week. So please follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. We're now being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Until next time, I am Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort.
You too, Brian. I'm going to think up ways of getting TJ Warren into the All-Star game just so he would play on the same team as Jimmy Butler.
Good. Oh, yes. Yes. All for that.
Have a good one.
Later, man.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.